week in your parents' basement, we are experiencing a game that really embodies the Christmas spirit. From 1993, we're playing Batman Returns for the SNES by Konami. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that likes to purr before attacking his enemies with a whip. It's Todd Brisket.
Oh, I'm just a lowly secretary to powerful businessman Max Schreck.
And our other co-host, he's pitching a gritty reboot of this movie around Hollywood, starring Robert Pattinson, Jennifer Lawrence, and Joe Pesci. It's Hugh Hauser.
Selina Kyle, you're fired. And Bruce Wayne, why are you dressed up like Batman?
Wow. I felt like Walken was here in the room with us.
I just played a recording from the movie because I liked it so much.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes, and when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And hey, everybody, the holidays are here. Maybe you need to buy a last-minute or late makeup gift. Or maybe you're going to spend that Christmas loot. Well, Amazon now has free shipping on a whole bunch of goodies for your own sweet baby boys and sweet baby girls. So please support the show by using our click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. You can buy a model of Bruce Wayne's custom coupe for $74.95 plus shipping. I don't know. Not the Batmobile, by the way. It's Bruce Wayne's custom coupe. So that's so much better.
I think it's called Guano.
Guano?
Bat coupe, right?
Yes, the custom coupe, not bat poop.
Oh, okay.
That's from Ace Ventura 2, that we all know Guano.
This is the only reason.
That's what they teach in school.
They play clips.
Third grade science class.
When nature calls.
Yeah, I mean, did you have a bat unit in third grade? I didn't. Like, we never really studied bats so much.
If I did, I'd be furious.
Well, so this week's game is Batman Returns. Released in April 1993, shortly after the movie of the same name, this game is a splendid beat-em-up. That's not surprising, though, since it is made by Konami before they became awful. This game is not to be confused with the other versions, which are either worse or 2D platformers. I remember this game well because it was featured in Nintendo Power at the time of its release, but Todd, I think you nominated for coverage this week because it's a Christmas game, right?
Yeah, yes, and it is the season to be jolly.
Season is upon us.
As they say, Santa and his sleigh and all that. Because
jingle,
Batman...
Jingle them bells.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Famously, Batman Returns famously is a Christmas movie.
Yes, takes place during Christmas.
Right.
Which I'm sure all three hosts knew before we started recording.
Listen, guys. The last time I watched Batman Returns, I was, let's see, it came out in 92. So I was probably like 9 or 10. So
I mean, you meant to say the last time you watched it was last Christmas with your family gathered around to watch the one Tim Burton movie that everyone knows is Christmas related. Mm-hmm. Batman Returns. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the part my family liked the best is when the guy abuses his secretary and throws her from like a 10th story window.
Yeah. My kids really like it when the penguin bites some guy's nose off.
Yeah. It's almost that was an homage to It's a Wonderful Life.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, not exactly a family-friendly movie, and also somewhat, I think it's PG-13. Like, it feels like this should be on the cusp of, like, an R rating. But,
no, come on.
Nah, they're not dropping S-bombs and F-bombs.
We're showing full frontal Parasite Eve-style nudity.
Yeah. They don't go as full frontal as Marvel does right. in their movies.
I mean, sure, they're skin tight leather suits, but that's covering
the horrendous
human flesh underneath.
And in the beginning of the movie, like, you know, Pee-wee Herman is abandoning his child, like throwing him into a sewer.
Literally ditching this child into a river.
Yes.
Moses style. You know, Moses, Jesus, same guy, right?
Oh, this is it's all comes back to Christmas story. Yeah.
Moses and Jesus.
Because of the Bible, yeah.
Famous Christmas figure, Moses.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Right?
Yeah.
And he famously slaved for 40 days and 40 nights on that pyramid, and Pharaoh gave him a Christmas treat.
And that treat was a giant mechanical duck car.
You know, oddly, this movie did come out in June 1992. I didn't even look at the date till now because I just assumed, it probably released in November or December.
That is bizarre because,
that's
you
one
know,
thing I did not know.
I did watch the movie as a kid, of course, as we all do. We watched the Batmans.
June 19th.
But I watched it again this week and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, 'tis the season because this is all about Christmas trees and presents. It's so shocking that it came out in June.
Presents everywhere.
Giant presents.
Huge gift wrap boxes.
Hmm. Speaking of that, this game has some big gift wrap boxes.
It sure do.
So getting into the game a little bit, it is a beat 'em up of the variety that Huel loves. But this game, they did a great job translating factors from the movie into the game itself. I played the game this week, then I rewatched the movie, and I was like, wow, this scene, this bad guy, this scenario is taken exactly from the movie. Like,
yeah.
Iconically, the giant present, that box, and then a motorcycle man shooting out of it on his motorcycle with a giant skull head.
Yeah, this is an extremely faithful adaptation of the movie.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that it came out after.
Even down to one of, so this is a beat 'em up where it had a la Turtles in Time, with the greatest beat 'em up of all time, where you can throw enemies into the background. And Turtles in Time, you can throw them into the foreground.
I love that. Yeah, I love that part.
And this is the Batman. You throw them into the background. You throw them through the storefronts where people are doing all the Christmas shopping.
The walls. Chuck them right into the wall.
And iconically in this game and in the movie, old bats can grab onto two bozos and slam their heads together.
Yeah.
That's a move that is straight out of the movie that they translated to this game. And also, hot tip.
Right.
Hot fact. Mm-hmm. Hot fact. The video game company Rocksteady got their idea for Batman Arkham games from this game.
Oh.
Yeah, this is basically a precursor to the Arkham games and the beat-em-up mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Combos everywhere.
Yeah, well, this game definitely, like, you know, we played the NES Batman like this year, like it wasn't that long ago. And I enjoyed that game, but this does feel more like a Batman movie than that game. I have quite a bit of fun with this one, like. We talked in Splatterhouse, I think we talked about the crunch factor of a game.
Yeah, it's got a crunch, and, a little juice.
Yeah, this game definitely has a good crunch. Especially that move where you, as you mentioned, where you throw the guys into like storefronts. And also if there's a window, they actually like break the window. It's a lot of fun. It's very satisfying.
Satisfying, yeah.
It's also has one of my favorite jump kicks in recent beat-em-ups.
Oh yeah, because it's
a great
good.
Jump kick.
It's a meaty.
It's good. It actually works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think if you
most of the time these beat 'em ups, you're like flying over their head and it never connects.
Yeah. I think if you there's also like a good variety of moves too. Like he has the jump kick, but he also does like a hover move with his cape extended too. If you hit the button,
that's
like
awesome.
Yeah. It's just a lot of fun variety. And even like this is a beat 'em up, but there's more variation in this game than most of the other beat 'em ups on the system. It's I think it's like the second part of the first stage. He's just pulling out his Batarang gun and just using it on people.
Right. It turns into a side scroll. You know, the first stage is a Final Fight esque beat 'em up. How it plays. The second stage is a platformer where it's just left to right. No 3D. No depth. Just left to right. And instead of punching, you use your Batarang the entire time. So it's a nice little change up. And more variety later on, where it comes in, you start driving your Batmobile around, have to shoot bad boys on motorcycles in a pseudo 3D perspective. So there's a variety in stages.
Yeah, they mixed it up enough to not get super boring, which is my usual complaint on beat 'em ups, is the repetitiveness. Mm-hmm. I think they mix it up enough.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I wasn't super thrilled about is. So this game is five stages. Now it's still a pretty long game. Like
seven
stages. Yeah,
I thought it was five.
Nope, it's seven. Wow.
Well,
we got. Hang on. Hey, guess what, folks?
List them out.
We've got Ambush in Gotham Plaza.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Battle in the Streets of Gotham City.
That's two.
On the Prowl. The Penguin's Trap. To the Batmobile, Circus Train, and the Penguin's Lair. So that is seven.
Ah, well, I was wrong. But no, for some reason, I thought there was only five stages in this. Well,
it's because you never graduated high school.
Well, listen, I'm not always smart. What can I tell you?
Supposed to keep that under wraps.
Yeah. But no, it's about an hour long though. They're long stages, like for this kind of game. Like I feel like they could have broken it up a little bit more. But no, all in all, like this is near. I don't know if I played a beat 'em up on that I liked more. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
It's hard for me to really categorize beat 'em ups per system. They all just blend together for me. So I can't think of any other SNES beat 'em ups. So I guess this is...
Well, iconically, Final Fight is on the SNES.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean that is a good game, but I also feel like that, you know, it's more just a standard beat 'em up. Like, it's... You know, there's nothing super fancy or special about it.
Final Fight?
Or is this... Yeah, Final Fight.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. I like the variety of characters and the fact that you can play as, you know, two or three different people depending on which one you get. But there's really not that much difference in the gameplay. Like, there's one stage where you're, like, in a boxing ring that's kind of unique. But the rest of them, it's, you know, it's kind of a standard fare. It's done really well, but, you know.
Well, I'm going to throw my pick out of there that I like more than the Batman, which I've mentioned before. Teenage Turtles 4 in Time is on the SNES. I would probably say that's my favorite.
Oh, man. I always forget about that one. That is a really good game.
And so, going back to Mr. Bat, the reason why I would say this is not up in the top echelon tier... For me, I'd say it's up there. It's definitely right in top 10 at least, but of beat-ems on home consoles. But the reason why it's not going any higher is because that it is gets super difficult in the boss fights. The boss fights are impossible.
Yes, this is not an especially easy game. Which I feel like we always say about all these games, but still,
It's a common observation.
Yeah. I don't know. Does this have a two-player mode, actually?
Does
I don't
not.
Think it does.
No.
Does not.
Yeah, so for that reason, I definitely think, you, Todd, once again, I think you're right that Turtles is better. It's Turtles you can play with multiple people. Like, so that's definitely a better game. So I stand corrected. But this is probably, you know, top three. I also like the beat 'em up called King of the Dragons for Super Nintendo, which which is kind of fun because you can power up your characters and you get equipment and armor. But it doesn't really have that much effect on the gameplay. So it's not really that big of a deal. But I don't know. This game was pretty good. It has little cut scenes between the stages that have scenes from the movie. That part's fun.
Yeah, they're like digitized lifts and screenshots mm-hmm. right from the movie. You get Michael Keaton's chin, Danny DeVito's mm-hmm. Prosthetics. It's all there.
Yeah. A lot of Keaton in this movie.
So much Keaton.
And yeah, like he's on like the opening, like as you start the game, like he's on like the first story screen, like a big shot of his face.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like he's the title character.
Well, that's a scene ripped entirely from the movie, of him standing up and with the bat signal flashing on the background behind him.
Right.
But you know, here's the thing. You know, I know Michael Keaton; his face is slammed all over this game. But since rewatching the movie this week, I think like the main characters of the movie are for sure, what's his face, Walken and Danny DeVito. Those are the main characters.
DeVito / Penguin is the star of this film.
Right. He has like at least 75% of the screen time.
This is his story, for sure. Batman's just there.
Mm.
This is about Oswald Cobblepot being cast aside because he's a freak.
Ooh.
But yeah, another great point that this is a Christmas movie is that it's when the movie opens, it says 33 years ago or whatever. 33 years later or ago, whatever it says. And it's still Christmas time back in the day when Pee-wee threw baby Danny DeVito into the water.
It was snowing
when they did that, which is great. It's like, oh, exactly 33 years ago this happened. This is like Christmas week.
Probably. It could have been Christmas Day for all we know. That could be his birthday.
Since I haven't seen the movie in a while, do they specify what happens to the Cobblepots? Like, I did not remember.
You might want to say that one more time. What was that?
Do they specify what happens to his parents in the movie?
They passed away. That's all. They passed away without an heir is what I understood it to have happened.
Okay. Well,
they're probably bought out by the Shrek Corporation.
Yes, Shrek. Christopher Walken in a very Christopher Walken-y role.
This is probably like the beginning of his turn into modern day caricature Walken.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1992.
It's like his first hosting gig on Saturday Night Live for this movie.
Exactly.
Well, it's clearly like, you know, it was a paycheck movie for him. DeVito also.
This is a. Like Batman 89 was huge. So this is not a paycheck movie. Like this was a big time sequel.
I don't mean it as derogatory.
Right.
I meant it as like Danny DeVito knew he could get a lot of money doing this, and that's why
we're talking about Walken.
Oh, Walken as well. Okay. DeVito did this because Jack Nicholson suggested him for the role. And also told him that he could make a lot of money if he did this. So
we'll say, you know,
I thought he got the role because he was a short round man, but that's just
exactly.
Me.
Oh, so Wikipedia has
just put it out there.
A lot of good stuff about this. You guys want to hear who else was considered for this role?
I cannot.
Yeah, of course.
So it was first offered to Dustin Hoffman, but he declined. Other people considered. I don't think any of these people were offered, but they were considered at various points. Marlon Brando, John Candy, Bob Hoskins, Super Mario himself.
Bob Hoskins would have been great.
Yeah, he could have pulled it off. Dean Martin.
What?
Which, I don't know. Dudley Moore, Alan Rickman. that That would have been weird.
I could see Rickman, but...
Yeah. Ralph Waite, John Goodman, Phil Collins, Charles...
Charles... He's not even an actor!
Charles Grodin, Christopher Lee, Joe Pesci, Ray Liotta, Gabriel Byrne, Alex Rocco, and Christopher Lloyd. So...
I need to see
his taxi co-star. Yeah,
I need to see a Ray Liotta penguin now. That's incredible.
I mean, I'm glad that DeVito took it because he does great perfection in that role.
Mm-hmm. Perfection. It's his greatest acting role. It's actually really good. Like him alone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This super dumb movie, but he nails it. He kills it.
I think he's the only person that actually has a personality in this movie.
Right. He's the only one with a character.
Yeah.
Selena Kyle is in there, but she is overacting like nobody's business. God.
Michelle Pfeiffer hamming it up. Because her only character arc is she hits her head and goes nuts.
Yeah, but that's...
Right. It's
that's
a movie about how people that are mentally disabled are wrong.
Right. And how head injuries should be mocked.
But, you know, she's making some choices out there. She's taking some swings. Like, I can't fault her that much for that.
She's no Eartha Kitt.
This is the more insane thing to me, is the fact that Pfeiffer, she wasn't even cast first. Do you guys know who was cast first as Catwoman?
Sigourney Weaver.
That would be better. That would be a good pick.
I don't know. Kylie Minogue.
Annette Bening.
What?
She became pregnant, allowing Pfeiffer to get the role. So
that is odd.
Yes, it is. I have no clue why they picked Annette Bening. Like that is just weird. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer makes sense. And then the other people they considered is another mixture of like just bizarre names. Susan Sarandon, Meryl Streep, who was considered too old by Burton, Brooke Shields, Demi Moore, Nicole Kidman, Jodie Foster, Gina Davis, Sigourney Weaver, that would have been great, Lena Olin, Madonna, Raquel Welch, Cher, Ellen Barkin, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Lorraine Bracco, Bridget Fonda, that would have been interesting.
Am I thinking of the right person with Ellen Barkin? The one from...
Probably.
The drug movie?
You are a movie guy. Of the three of us, you...
Oh,
you
no, no. A... I'm not thinking of the right person.
Yeah.
Who is in Requiem for a Dream? The old lady.
Oh, that's Jennifer Connelly.
No. The old lady that takes the diet pills.
Oh, I don't know.
Ellen Burstyn.
Oh, okay.
How many times are we going to do this on the show?
Yeah. I mean, I thought he said Alan Arkin at first. I was like, ooh.
Alan Arkin, that would have been a great choice.
Alan Alda.
No, because I was thinking, they said Meryl Streep was too old, and I thought they mentioned Ellen Burstyn, and I was like, hang on a second.
No.
Sorry.
No, sorry. But yeah, so they're, I don't know. I Batman Returns is now old enough where plenty of stuff has been written about it, and it's all interesting. You know, Billy D. Williams opted not to return to his role as Harvey Dent. He was originally in the script. So that's a loss.
I would say so.
Well, he's definitely reprised that role since then in a few features.
Well, the Lego one.
The Lego one, and sure. Straight to video Legos.
Uh-oh, we're losing him.
I don't know. This game's good. The end.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. It's got stuff from the movie, and I liked it. One of the longest intro cinematics I've ever seen.
Oh, I didn't even sit through it.
Before you get to the start menu. It like goes through the whole Oswald Cobblepot getting chucked into a river dilemma. And then the Prezzies appearing and clowns bursting out of them and stuff.
Does Ellen, it actually have the scene with
Ellen bursting out of
does it have what? The scene with Christopher Walken throwing Michelle Pfeiffer out a window?
No, I think that comes later. That's not in the intro. Because he saves Selena Kyle during the clown fight. That's like the first boss. Mm. So I think later that might happen.
Oh, that's right.
I did not play the entire game. I'm sorry.
And what, you know,
I apologize.
Going back to how this game matches up so closely to the movie is that first boss that's called like Stun Gun Clown. And in the movie, he looks exactly the same, and his weapon is a stun gun.
And you do the same move to him that happens in the movie where you grappling hook the wall behind him and smash him in the head.
Right, exactly.
It's a very faithful adaptation. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It went through a lot of effort.
Yeah, you can tell by this point they're finally starting to like actually base games on the source material instead of just deciding, oh, we have this other game laying around. Let's just turn it into a Batman game like two-thirds mm-hmm. of the way through.
Well, do we know the exact...
Let's reskin We're Back, A Dinosaur's Tale.
Do we know the release like date of this game? Because you said it was after the movie, right?
Yes, it was April 1993.
Okay, so like 6 months later. No, more than
that. Yeah, the movie came
like
out
10 months later.
June 1992. So this is...
Yeah. So that's probably
VHS
why.
VHS release?
It's not rushed. Yeah.
Yes. It's not rushed, and it's a real company that did it. It's Konami. It's not like... I feel like with so many
yeah,
of these...
A real company.
So many of these ports, it's always like... Oh, it's done by Ocean Technoware. You know those classic game designers.
Exactly.
So, although oddly, they only chose Konami for the NES and Super Nintendo. The other ones, which are all crap, are developed by companies like that. So, some company called Aspect, another called Denton Designs, and Spirit of Discovery. So, you know, it's...
It's like names of ships from the 1800s.
old looking ships.
Diversity. The Diversity Company, I think, did the Zed Spectrum version of this game.
Right. So I went back to the playthrough video that I peeked on before, mm-hmm. Skipped ahead a bit. They do not show the attempted murder of Selena Kyle as a cutscene. She just inexplicably turns into Catwoman.
Yes. Yes.
According to the game. Right.
I suppose that is a little confusing if you've never seen the movie. I mean, I feel like if you're a big Batman fan as a kid, you probably would have seen the movie before you got the game. But who knows? Now, Todd, I'm not sure. Did you have a chance to get any most best of all time?
Yeah, I did. I was able to find... You know, we like this game pretty swell. For a beat-em, so, Huel likes it okay.
Real quick, Todd, had you played this mm-hmm. before?
No, had not played this game.
All right, just curious.
I have seen the movie.
Okay.
So, factor that.
Interesting.
I did find three reasons why Batman Returns on the SNES is the most best game of all time. All right, this first one, it was written in January of 2012, and it's titled Considered a Classic and It Holds Up by Johnny B.
Is it? Okay.
Considered a Classic and It Holds Up. And Johnny B. wrote, one of the top beat-em-ups on the SNES right here. I love it. My boys love it. I got the SNES in my bedroom. It's so awesome. My wife lets me keep it in there.
Wow.
Is that the end?
5 stars.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Wait, out of curiosity, when was that review written again?
January of 2012.
Wow. It's a very flexible wife there. As far as... Never mind. She lets him keep it in there. That's all we need to know.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next one is titled Great Game for SNES by Roy Levins. In July of 2003. Mm-hmm. And Roy wrote, The punching in this is none-stopping action. For SNES, Batman Returns is the best action game out there. P.S., get it for the action. 5 stars.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can't disagree there.
Mm-hmm. All right, this next last one is short and sweet. Short and sweet. If you didn't think this was a great game yet, you're going to be convinced with this one. It is in November of 2016 by somebody named Rambrandt 932.
Like it already.
And Rambrandt wrote, "Make me feel child again." 5 stars.
Oh my goodness.
It's like a cry for help.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to like do that. Anyways,
we need to move on.
Yeah.
Before we get into trouble.
Get on a list. I actually do not have a 1-star Yelp review. Huel, were you able to find a manual for this one?
I did. I found the SNES manual for Batman Returns. This is really good. It has a lot of drawings. It's in full color. It's got like a 2-page summary of the beginning of the movie. It's got quotes by Alfred. Like, who doesn't want that? Yeah, lots of good
Your tea, sir.
I've cleaned the crotch on your bat suit, sir.
out your diaper, sir.
I've replaced the filter in your bat suit. So it's got the controls.
Classic Alfred quotes.
Mr. Pennyworth himself. So it tells you how to do the jump kick, the flying cape leap thing, that kind of stuff. About chucking enemies, about smashing enemies' heads together. Talks about the other controls of your different batarangs and what's the other thing called? The spear gun thing?
The rope-a-dope.
The rope-a-dope. list the stages. And like I said, some good drawings. So, a little surprising. I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Ooh.
I almost forgot which Mario it was. Mario 2s. This is a good one.
No, that's a very good score.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I have a ranking system. It is called the Herzog Hierarchy Rating System and Ranking. This game is coming in at Herzog 8.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's a fun game. If you like Batman and you like, some older beat-em-ups, this is right up your alley. So yeah. That's my reasoning. Yeah. Todd, do you have a rating system?
Yes, I do have a rating system. It is the DuckTale scale. The DuckTale scale has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have for this game? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I replay it in this joyous season of Christmas? Primary factor one, nostalgia. You know, it's Batman. It's Bat. Hey, it's the Bat. It's the Bat. and he's returning. And it's Tim Burton, Michael, what's his face, and Danny DeVito in the iconic role. How can you not love that? Right. So I got pretty good nostalgia for it. Replayability, decent for a beat-em-up. There's other beat-em-ups I would rather play than this game. Let me just put it that way. I'm thinking, when I'm playing this game, I'm feeling like, I just want to play some River City Ransom Underground on my PC instead. That's what I'm feeling. So those two primary factors being factored in, I would give Batman on the Super Nintendo a 0.27 DuckTales.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, wow, Huel, I'm impressed. You went with 0.21, which is close considering like
could have been anything.
Yeah, it could have been anything.
Well, good.
I would have went with like 0.45.
Well, I knew the replayability wasn't there. and he hadn't played it before, but he had slight nostalgia for the Batman film. So there it is. I think I could build an AI of Todd at this point and get pretty close.
Wow.
If I knew how to do that.
You could build a Todd bot.
Yeah. A bot of a bot. So it's
through
the looking glass here.
So just touch on the pricing for this one. It is $12.59 if you want the loose cart. $35 bucks for the cart and box. Also, Price Charting is the game. It's the site I use. I just noticed they now have a separate category for Nintendo Power. Like, they consider it as a system. So you can get this Nintendo Power issue for $5.05. So that's exciting. And apparently the rarest issue is issue 173, $87 if you want it. So Star Wars Rebel Strike.
Okay. When was that?
173? I don't even know when. I don't even know what Star Wars Rebel Strike is.
Sounds like they're the soccer game, right?
I don't think there was a Star Wars soccer game.
Not even with Chewie's huge left foot.
I feel like there should be.
No, I mean, I think we have again stumbled upon a great
friend of the show
IP.
Friend of the show Beanie would love that game.
Yeah, yeah. But no, unfortunately, it is, let's see, January 1997. So I guess it was meant for Star Wars Rogue Squadron around that time. Star Wars Rogue Squadron 3, which I don't even know if that game ended up coming out. So
it did.
Well, they featured on the cover, apparently. Listen, late Nintendo Power, it's got some weird stuff going on. Also the second most expensive issue is volume 285, which is Super Mario Brothers U. And that is $40. I think that might be the last issue. So anyways, we should probably move along a bit here instead of, you know,
talking about Nintendo Power.
Yeah, listen, it is a stellar magazine. Journalist.
Never heard of it.
Oh, that's weird. We did do an episode about it. So.
An issue?
We
got NP on the brain.
I know. I did an issue on the issues.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
Issue 10, Batman, $11. So, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about Batman Return?
I think we covered everything I had. Let me see. Just the bosses, just the biggest issue, bosses are too difficult. And also playing this, it made me feel like I just want to go back and play some Batman Arkham games instead of this.
Great. They're great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still have two of them to get through. So
if you have not yet played Arkham Knight, highly recommend.
No, I played Asylum. But I need to.
Oh yeah, you played Asylum like a year ago, right?
Yes,
I just finished City, so I'm on to Night next.
Yeah, skip Beginnings or whatever the hell it's called.
Oh, I don't even know
the one that wasn't Rocksteady.
Oh, okay. Huel, anything else you wanted to say here?
Oh, not really. I just hope the Academy fixes their error in the upcoming Academy Awards and retroactively gives Danny DeVito the correct award for this, which is Best Sound Editing.
Oh. Wait, you want to give him Best Sound Editing Award?
Yes. I think this really encapsulates his performance.
Because he's editing the sound of his own voice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
Yeah. That's actors should get best sound editing for their own voice.
Absolutely.
Controlling their own voice.
Well, that's sound mixing.
Oh, okay. And they should get like special effects for like dancing and stuff.
They should have it.
Using their bodies.
There's no best dancing category.
You know what? Danny DeVito. I don't know. He's never been nominated for an Oscar, has he?
Maybe for no. Cuckoo's Nest? Or...
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's? Yeah.
That's probably why Jackie Nicholson recommended him.
Oh, no, he has not. He has won an Emmy Award. Can you imagine those two guys out in the town? Just, you know, Jack Nicholson, Danny DeVito.
He was nominated for Aaron Brockovich.
What?
Danny?
Was he a producer? He must have been a producer. Oh, yeah, Best Picture. I guess he produced Aaron Brockovich.
Huh.
Alrighty.
Wow.
Well,
you know, Danny DeVito's made a career playing sure mentally unstable people.
Yes.
I can think of three.
Well, Frank Reynolds right now on Always Sunny.
I mean, he's been Sunny for like they're going on 2 decades now or something.
Oh, yeah, God, so many.
13 years.
Wow. Yeah. And he was in One Over the Kooks and he's kind of an angry guy on Taxi.
Ozzy Cobbles.
Yeah.
Ozzy Cobbles isn't exactly a sound mind.
No, he's kind of a little bit unstable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, L.A. Confidential. He was real good in that one.
He played a straight in that one.
Yeah. Well, he was like the editor of the sleazy magazine.
Right.
So
I mean, he's kind of a sleaze, but he played straight. Not his usual kooky self.
No. Sleaze. Like, he does a lot of sleazy stuff, too. Let's see.
Yeah, it's like they say.
I feel like we must move on.
Life imitates art.
Yeah. He also owned Jersey Television, which produced Reno 911. He's got his hands all over the place. All over.
Taking Hollywood by storm.
I have confirmed that he was a producer on Aaron Brockovich.
Oh, very nice. All right. Well, yeah. Should probably move along. Let's move along to the email portion of the show.
Oh. Okay.
That I now realize, Huel, I didn't ask you if you had anything else to say, did I?
You did. But my reaction was not for that. It was for disregard for the
Let
agenda.
Me say this. Our first email is a vocal email.
Oh, what are those vocal emails?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was not looking at my teleprompter.
Please. So here's the problem. Somebody sent in a voicemail. So let's have a listen. Here it goes.
What's up, YPB? This is Vin Diesel, the pacifier. I wanted to call to congratulate you on 150 episodes. Wow, that's a great job, and I love the podcast. As everyone knows, I'm a huge nerd and love playing Dungeons & Dragons. There's lots of good dungeons in video games. But are there any good dragons? I think they're pretty cool. I've always liked them.
Oh, no.
I fell asleep again.
Yeah.
He's always so tired, that Vin Diesel.
I mean, he's just, all he does is work out and play Dungeons & Dragons.
I know. He's always jumping around those cars and working out. And he's a tired boy.
Oof.
All right.
Oh, great ask by I would call him friend of the show by this point.
Absolutely,
Vin Diesel,
friend of the show. I'm very happy he called in again.
The dragon came right to mind as the dragon that people love. People love this dragon, Spyro, the little dragon that could.
Yeah, definitely a dragon. He's a dragon we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
A very famous video game dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that, that one, we got that one out of the way, I'm going to Google for a cooler one that is actually good and fun.
Yep. Steve, any thoughts?
Well, was his question, like, what did he, was it just best dragon in a video game, or?
I believe it was, are there any good dragons?
Oh.
What's his question?
My mind immediately went to Skyrim.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Like, Alduin, I had to look it up, right. But I believe Alduin is the Nordic god of destruction, also known as the World Eater.
He's the big bad Skyrim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the bad boy.
Rim of the Sky.
Yep. But yeah, I'm also reminded of Dragon's Lair has a good dragon at the end of it, as you would think. And also Shadowgate has same deal. All of them good dragon boys in all of them.
Good dragon boys.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one. Little out of left field, if you will. Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat turns into a dragon.
Oh, very nice.
And eats him. Eats him up.
That's a great one. Not one that would immediately come to mind.
Mm.
Here's a question. Is Ridley a dragon, or is it just an alien?
It's alien.
Eh, it's dragon-esque.
I think on his planet, he calls himself a person.
Oh, he's a people. Okay. Got it.
I don't know. That's a good one. That's a good pick.
Oh, here's a little underground indie gym joint we talked about on this show, and it features three little dragons, Alicia Dragoon, and her three dragon companions.
Of course! How can we forget? Alicia Dragoon.
A true indie darling.
True.
Indie underground darling for the Sega Genesis. Go look that up.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Alicia. Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Vin got some good insights there.
Van Dramsel. All right. Well, Todd, for real this time, did you get an email?
Oof. Eef. Oh, no. No, Eef. No email. Sorry.
Eef.
Oh. Oof. All right. Huel, how about you?
Unfortunately not. No, that's a real shame.
Oh, we struck out then. No emails.
Oh, man, wow.
Because I also
good thing someone called.
We'll get him next time.
Yeah. Did we get an ask then?
Okay, since we didn't get any emails, let's knock out one of these asks. They're kind of queuing up.
Give me that
queuing
ask.
Queuing up in the queue. Mm-hmm. So let me open my ask inbox real quick here. Okay, here we go. Somebody needs our help this week, so let us ask the Sweet Boys. Send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and we will keep it anonymous for your protection. This one's from an anonymous. Their subject of their email was, how do I teach my son he's vulnerable between the legs?
Oh boy.
And there.
Sounds like that one most best we got. But anyway.
Hello. My youngest is a bit over 5. He loves jumping about the house and climbing trees in our yard, most of which are slanted and not too high. However, considering a recent unfortunate injury to a neighbor boy, I am worried about his safety. Having only had a daughter, I've never had to have a conversation with my child about the vulnerability of his testicles and how apparently painful it can be if he, say, lands on them. How do I bring this up to my son that he needs to be careful with his fragile parts? Is it appropriate to make him wear a cup while he climbs trees?
Oh my God.
I imagine this revelation might be embarrassing to young boys. Please let me know.
Oh my God. I mean, the only real way to learn is by trial and error, you know? Or what do they call it? Trial by fire. That's how you really learn not to
trial by Rochambeau.
Let those dangly bits dangle too far.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's something you just pick up on your own, though. Like, you know,
well, she wants it to never happen to him, apparently. But I gotta say, it's gonna happen eventually.
I mean, these are his grandkids we're talking about here.
Yeah, but I feel
the grandkids are held within those fragile parts.
Oh, the grandkids are in danger. I got it.
But I feel it's a dangly bit that you use every day, and you have to notice, hey, this feels like it would hurt, like if I jammed it in a door or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that happened to me.
Wait, I don't know if you... I don't think that's the concern. I think she's talking about getting hit.
Oh, man. This is the third time this week.
Try it out.
Slammed it in the door again.
This should be fun. No, it's like getting hit down there. You know what we're talking about. That's what she's concerned about.
I mean, you wouldn't want to get hit anywhere anyway, though. Like,
right, but get, like, if you use the same force on your elbow as you do like down there, it's going to be a vastly different pain.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Level.
Yeah, but I still feel like, you know, if someone's throwing a ball at you, you still like you try to get out of the way.
You lead with your crotch. I've seen baseball batters do this.
Take the walk.
Yeah,
take the walk. Take the hit.
Yeah, yeah. Pull the Roger Dorn. You lean into it.
It's a classic move.
Yeah.
It's gamesmanship. I think it's just gonna have to be something he learns on his own. I think. I mean, you can warn him, be like, "Hey, this hurts a lot," but until it happens, he's not gonna know. Until you know. You don't know unless you know. It's one of those things.
Mm. Well.
Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I feel like it's something you don't have to teach a kid about. Like, you know, he'll learn to not let his junk get hit on his own. He might not. Why don't you just focus on, like, teaching him how to tie his shoes or something like that?
It's great advice.
Yeah. Hey, how about you read him a book instead of sitting him down and telling him not to let people punch him in the crotch?
Just show a compilation video of all the greatest nut shots from America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yeah, he can.
But he's not going to know why it's funny unless he knows that it hurts a lot. So we're in a snake eating its own tail situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like you could at least watch that and, you know, have a good chat about it, and then watch the episode of The Simpsons where Sideshow Bob steps on all the rakes, and you can teach him not to do that either.
Yeah, a lot of good teachable moments on The Simpsons.
Yeah,
or the film festival where Hans Wollman gets a football thrown in his crotch.
Oh, man. Really, you know, good information for every situation. The Simpsons. Just watch The Simpsons from start to finish. Well, I feel like we really helped that person a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Let me just check this agenda real quick, make sure I didn't somehow forget something else. Nope, looks good.
Okay. Cool.
So
we need to save our galaxy, Yulala. Are you ready?
Ooh. Huh. Oh, new drop. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Sure. Merry Christmas, Alfred. Goodwill toward men and women.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I forgot to mention, this is a game that Michael Jackson would have loved. Huel, anything else?
Wait, a game that what? Say that again?
A game that Michael Jackson would have loved. Because you have to beat the crap out of Catwoman. So.
Oh. Okay.
You do. Like, she's one of the end of stage bosses, and you have to Like, you fight her like any other enemy in this game. You just punch her. So, it's a game Michael Jackson would love. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Eat floor, high fiber.
Well, on that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game. I'll get into this on the show, but does Batman Returns occur on Christmas or just in December? Or like,
let's save it for the year.
Have you not even? Oh my god! Please save this for the year.
Does Batman even return in this movie?
Is Batman in this movie?
Hey,
really?
Guys,
really? I rewind. Okay, I'll save it for.
Did Batman ever really leave?
That is another question.
Is that's the tagline, right?
That's for this week.
Wait, did Batman ever really leave?
That's the real question, to be honest.
It's more like the Penguin returns because he's coming back from a
we're burning
hiatus in the sewers.
A plus material here.